Super Bowl tickets at deep discount. From APM, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. Today, the Globalist Quiz and a Jobs Council gets laid off. You can get a cheap ticket to see the Baltimore Ravens and San Francisco 49ers play in Sunday's Super Bowl. Okay, relatively cheap. It'll still be far above face value and at least a grand unless you're very lucky. But prices are down from last year, substantially. Here to explain why is Eric Fisher of Sports Business Journal. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
So give us a sense as to how the ticket market has changed in recent years and how that's impacting what the prices are.
Well, consumers really in control now. If you go back 20 years or whatever, it was the sort of shady looking guy maybe standing on the side of the arena or stadium, and now with so much going online, there's just an immense wealth of data that the consumer now can get very easily. And knowledge is power, and it's very easy for a fan to find out now what tickets are really going for on the open market for any given event.
Now, always a big factor, regardless of that, is who is playing. We have Baltimore and San Francisco. What's the market like for those teams?
It's smaller and more regional. I mean, these are popular teams, and they're obviously very well beloved in their own markets, but these are not markets as big as what we had with New York and Boston last year, and they're much more geographically concentrated fan bases, whereas a Pittsburgh or a Dallas or a Green Bay has fans all over the country, and when those teams make the Super Bowl, people come in from all over the place.
Also, unless you live in New Orleans, you need to buy a plane ticket to get there. Just talk about how the high airfare prices are a factor in what tickets can go for to the Super Bowl.
It's a big factor. It's much more expensive and much more of a difficult thing to try to land getting to this year's Super Bowl compared to some prior years.
All right, still going to cost the fans, even if it is a little cheaper than last year as far as the ticket itself. Eric Fisher of Sports Business Journal, thanks for your insight.
No problem.
A controversial Chinese acquisition of an American company is going through despite objections to putting U.S. technology in Chinese hands. China's largest auto parts maker is now cleared to buy A123 Systems, a U.S. battery maker. Marketplace China correspondent Rob Schmitz reports from Shanghai.
For Chinese auto parts maker Wanxiang, the timing of this deal was perfect. The U.S. government had just given A123 $129 million to develop top-of-the-line electric car batteries. And that's when the Chinese company swooped in, says Asia auto analyst Michael Dunn.
In the auto industry, you build it where you sell it, and demand, for the short term at least, looks to be bigger in China than in the United States. That would indicate that production at A123 Systems and other battery makers may very well shift over to China.
Along with American jobs, all lost because China's government is offering attractive incentives to people who want to buy electric vehicles. The central government gives electric car buyers a check worth $9,500. Last week, amidst a public outcry over hazardous air pollution, the city of Beijing matched that sum, resulting in a whopping $19,000 subsidy for people who buy electric cars. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks have turned down, the S&P down about 0.25%, the Dow Jones down or that same amount at 13,878. The Justice Department is suing to stop Anheuser-Busch InBev from buying out Mexican brewer Grupo Modelo. The government says the deal would hurt consumers by reducing competition.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
It's international quiz time, so we welcome back Stefan Richter, editor-in-chief of theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning, Mark. So I take it you're ready and fully equipped for today's Globalist quiz.
I am prepared.
So we're looking at the 15% of Americans below the poverty line. In a global perspective, are those Americans still better off than what percentage of the total world population? 22%? That's option A. B, are they better off than half the world population, even though they're considered very poor in the United States? C, two-thirds of the world population? Or D, the poorest Americans better off than 80% of the world population?
Okay, I would say they are better off than two-thirds of the rest of the world.
That is not quite correct. It's an educated guess, though. I will grant you that.
Okay.
You know, if you're in the two-thirds poorest of the world, you make less than $2,800 a year if adjusted for purchasing power. Mm-hmm. The Americans are not at that level, so they're doing better.
Better, yes. Yeah.
You're surmising. And that's really the interesting thing. You know, 15% in poverty in the United States means that they're still doing better in economic terms than 80% of the world population. That shows that it really depends on which society you grow up in, and we often forget how big the problem of poverty is altogether.
It is an interesting perspective. To what extent are people in the rest of the world, in the world at large, are they coming out of poverty? Are they entering poverty at a greater rate? How's that going?
Well, in a word, it's all about China. China has moved massive amounts of people out of poverty. It's even happened in sub-Saharan Africa. You know, the commodities boom has done real good there. Sub-Saharan African countries are growing by about 5% on average. Unless they really run by kleptocratic elites who are ruining their country, everybody else, for the time being, is doing much better than for a long time. And that's one thing to be grateful for, even though we can't count on Latin America, sub-Saharan Africa, and all of Asia continuing to roll out of poverty as dynamically as has happened recently, even though we need to very much hope for that.
Okay, thank you so much. Stefan Richter is editor-in-chief of TheGlobalist.com. That is an online international affairs magazine. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
And finally, President Obama's Jobs Council is fired. The White House says today it's disbanding the group of CEOs tapped for advice on boosting hiring. The panel had its critics. Some said too many of its CEOs had shipped jobs overseas. Others just said it was a waste of time. The administration now says it's looking for new ways to engage with business on job creation. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.